Today on Real Radio.
We know that there's weapons of mass destruction in Syria. We know that's in Damascus. We know that Syria as a nation is being destabilized. Are we on the brink of something before us that is going to be biblically fulfilled? Hold that thought. Think about this.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a short but timely series that addresses the instability in the Middle East. Now, if you're a student of biblical prophecy at all, you're not even slightly surprised as to what's going on in Israel and around Israel at this time. Jesus himself said that when these things occur, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation of what Scripture has to say about the instability in the Middle East.
Our politicians, or some of them anyway, are in Russia tonight. And the topic being discussed is what is going to happen to Syria and who's going to be involved and should anybody be involved and what about Damascus? And so as you're in Isaiah chapter 17, just hold your finger right there for a moment. Syria's current situation at this hour is unstable, and that's putting it mildly. Bashar Assad is relocating as we speak. It's no secret. It's being monitored by the U.S., by Israel, by the EU. Assad is relocating his chemical weapons to residential areas throughout Damascus right now. They're moving them out of warehouses, moving them out of areas into areas where people live, knowing that the United States or any other nation will not attack to deal with those chemicals if they're in residential areas. And that's true. That's a big problem. He knows, smart enough to know, move all this stuff into residential areas so the Americans don't come after us, or the Europeans, or France is all excited about this. What's interesting is everybody should mark this down in your note-taking and in your mind. No one's asking very loudly anyway. The weapons of mass destruction that he's moving, where do they come from? Some are saying they came from Russia. They came from Russia. And the Russians are saying, we didn't give them anything. Now, we don't know if that's true or false. But Iran is a good friend with Syria. It's possible that they came from Iran. But this we know for sure. We know absolutely positively that weapons of mass destruction came from Iraq prior to the Gulf War into not only Syria, but into Damascus. That is well photographed, that is well documented, and the media never really wanted you to know that much, but it was very clearly recorded among the nations. And when I say among the nations, what I'm saying is that, as I mentioned a week or two ago on a Sunday morning, those weapons and the photograph of those weapons moving from Iraq to Damascus prior to the attack against Saddam Hussein in Iraq was conducted by the Israelis at the expense of the United States. U.S. State Department paid the Israeli Air Force in their reconnaissance program to take photographs. And those photographs were used by then Secretary of State Colin Powell under President Bush's presidency to present to the United Nations. Did anybody remember that? Yeah. Any news junkies out here? We watched all that happen. They showed photographs and nearly 50 nations saw that and said, wow, we got to stop them. And there's a coalition. A lot of people forget that. George Bush had a coalition of nearly 50 nations. 50 nations saying yes, and 22 nations giving military personnel to that war. And so it happened. But then you heard stories about Bush lied, kids died, blood for oil. Remember all that stuff? Which, do you guys all know that the United States... Now, this is something I'd like to talk to George Bush about. Did you know, because of all the rhetoric that was going on, do you know how much oil the United States gets from Iraq? Does anybody know that? Absolutely zero. You want to know why? Remember when everybody was saying, blood for oil, Bush sent our kids to die, kids died, Bush lied. Remember that stuff? He was so bummed by that he signed a treaty with Iraq that we would never receive oil from them. In other words, we spent billions of dollars to liberate Iraq from Saddam Hussein. I got nothing for it. At least we could have got some oil. We didn't get a drop. That's a bummer. In fact, they're selling it to Russia, but that's the way the thing goes. The weapons of mass destruction are in Damascus. Those nation leaders know that. Regarding the humanity within Syria, did you know 10% of Syria's population is Christian? Did you know that they're fleeing for their lives? Many of them are dead. Let me tell you, I mentioned this the other day. I got the latest stats on this tonight. By conventional weaponry, and most recently, weapons of mass destruction, where, 15 or 18 days ago, Bashar Assad launched, we think Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, launched a chemical attack against his own people. And that would make, of course, conventional weapons he used and weapons of mass destruction. But in the last 20 months, there's 110,000 dead of his own people. Imagine California. Imagine the California National Guard attacking Californians and killing 110 Californians. Imagine 5,000 people dying in Santa Monica, 10,000 people dying in Chino Hills, maybe another, go down the list. Isn't it amazing to think? As Westerners, we don't get that. You know, you want to know why? I don't know about you, but I appreciate that we don't relate to that. And the reason why that's true is because you enjoy Judeo-Christian values in this nation. Even among non-believers in this nation, they still have the influence of Judeo-Christian values. 110,000 dead, over 250,000 of his own people have been wounded by his attacks. By the way, his own father killed 15,000 Syrians under his regime, but Bashar has gone overboard. 2.5 million Syrians have been displaced. They're flooding into Turkey and into Jordan. Jordan has received the most. It's actually, Jordan is now fearing that it's going to devastate their economy. Jordan can't take it. Today, we heard on the news that Sweden will begin to receive refugees from Syria. Now listen, we're going to come to the importance of how this deals with your Christianity in these last days as we progress in this. Why are we bringing this up? Keep this in mind. And don't believe this when I tell you. But when you look at the region of the Middle East, since the advent of what is called the Arab Spring that was born out of the Cairo speech in 2009 by Barack Obama, it gave birth to the Arab Spring, generated and propelled by the Muslim Brotherhood. The nations around the Mediterranean area continue to put in a sense of destabilization and then overthrow. And you can go down the list. And in Syria, what's going on right now is the Muslim Brotherhood has gotten together with Al-Qaeda and factions of Al-Qaeda to dethrone Bashar Assad. Here's the problem. Assad is fearful of Israel, and he should be. He's learned over the years, you don't mess with Israel. That's why Iran has been using Syria as a puppet. Because Iran, fueling Hezbollah in the north, has been trying to set something off. And Iran has been prostituting Syria. But now since the advent or the arrival of the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, they're now stand to take power over Syria if Bashar Assad is killed or removed from office. A year ago, President Barack Obama said that if Syria ever used chemical weapons, it would be the red line crossed that would then generate a severe U.S. retaliation. And now we are in the situation we're at right now. The tragic thing is this. Regarding Muslim deaths in history, now you're not going to get this in public school. Regarding Muslim deaths since the birth of Islam, isn't it interesting to note that you put all the wars together, you put the Crusades together even, none of them combined come close to the amount of Muslim dead at the hands of Muslim. Isn't it interesting that even God had warned that the sons of Ishmael, that their sword would be against their own brother's neck, prophesied in the book of Genesis. Now that's the Ishmaelites, not Muslims. As you heard on Sunday night with great documentation, Islam is relatively new. I don't know if you realize that. But this is a tragic thing taking place, and what's to become of Syria? According to the Bible, Syria, something profound is going to happen to the nation of Syria, but something even more devastating is going to happen to the city of Damascus, which has never happened yet. Isaiah chapter 17, look at verse 1. It says, the burden against Damascus, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The word here in Hebrew, a ruinous heap, is that it will never be built again. Something's going to happen to Damascus, and it will never be built again. We know that there's weapons of mass destruction in Syria. We know that's in Damascus. We know that Syria as a nation is being destabilized. Are we on the brink of something before us that is going to be biblically fulfilled? Hold that thought. Think about this. Over in Ezekiel chapter 38, it gives a list of nations that in the last days, before Israel wakes up to realize that God is on her side. So listen, Israel is dwelling in unbelief. If you know anything about Israel, they dwell today in unbelief. They don't believe in God. It's very odd, huh? Don't you think that when you go to Israel or you talk to a Jew, they automatically believe in God? It's funny. They say they're Jews. They go to synagogue, but they'll tell you, well, I don't believe in God. Where was God in the Holocaust? They're angry at him. Then you say, who are you angry at? You don't believe in him. I'm angry at God. I thought you said you don't believe in him. I don't believe in him. Well, when you talk to a Jew, they finally come to this point. I know he's real, but I'm angry at him. I'm not going to talk to him. They won't talk to him. They're upset because they're, and I understand where they're coming from, but if they'd only read the book of Deuteronomy, for example, it says if you reject God, God says to Israel, if you reject me and you move out away from me, you'll have no protection and you'll be beaten, taken captive, and taken to all the nations of the world, and you'll be slaves to all people. He told them, don't run away from me. God says in the last days, I'm going to bring you into your own land once again. Before I return, you'll be outcast to all the nations of the world. But just before I come back, I'm going to bring you in back into your own land in which you used to dwell, and then you haven't, and then you shall. Isaiah says, Jeremiah says, that nation, Israel, will be born a second time in one day. And the Bible and history, of course, meets face to face. On May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation in one day. For the second time, no nation in the history of man has ever been a nation, then ceased to be a nation, then became a nation again. They kept their culture, they kept their language, they kept their faith practices, they kept their trade, they kept their education, they kept their culture. Isn't that amazing? No one's ever done this before. How'd that happen? God said it would happen. And on May 14th, at the incredible hand of President Harry Truman, who led the way, Israel became a nation in one day. And God says, when you come back, I'm going to bring you back and you're going to be unbelieving in me. You won't believe in me. But he said, that's going to change. There's going to be a coalition of nations, God says, in the last days. In Ezekiel 38, he names them by name. And it's all of Israel's enemies tonight. Every one of them. By the way, all but one are Islamic governments today, listed in Ezekiel 38. All but one. And the one that's not an Islamic government is the one that, according to the book of Ezekiel, says that whoever this one who dwells to the uttermost parts of the north, whose leader is the one that the Bible calls Gog, G-O-G, which is interesting. Hebrew word means it's a title of a political military leader. He's a political military leader. He commands both the politics and the military. It's almost like, not a king, but he's like a king. Well, whoever he is, Ezekiel tells us that he is the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And that he dwells in a land to the uttermost parts of the north from Jerusalem. The furthest distance you can go north from Jerusalem before you start heading south. In a distant land. It's none other than Russia itself. Notice, it's not the Soviet Union. It's Rosh. It's Russia. Soviet Union broke up under Ronald Reagan's presidency. Remember that? That had to happen prophetically because it had to be Russia, according to Bible prophecy. Isn't that awesome? Think of this. The Bible says that Russia is not going to want to get involved. And God says, I will put a hook in his jaw and I will turn him around and pull him into the conflict. And you read that. Go read Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39 later. And it says why they have to get involved. The Islamic nations that are mentioned. It says that they're going to come against Israel. And the hook is not in any of those other nations mentioned in their jaw. It's in Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. It's in his jaw, and he says, I will turn you around, God says, and I'm going to pull you into the conflict. Whatever is going on, Russia is not going to want to get involved, but they're going to have to get involved. So what's on the horizon? Right now, we know that Lebanon wants Israel to be destroyed. Syria wants Israel to be destroyed. Turkey wants Israel to be destroyed. Iran wants Israel to be destroyed. Interesting, Jordan's not mentioned. Saudi Arabia is not mentioned. Egypt is not mentioned. Guess what other nation, though, is not mentioned? This nation of Syria, which currently wants Israel destroyed, is not mentioned. Why not? It would make perfect sense for Ezekiel to have seen the land of Assyria in your Bible reading. Today, Syria, it's absent. Why is it absent? You should ask that question. Why is it absent in that list? Apparently, it doesn't get involved, or clearly it doesn't get involved, but why doesn't it get involved? Could it be that the reason why it doesn't get involved in that Ezekiel 38 battle, and it's not even mentioned, is because Damascus is completely destroyed? We know Damascus is going to be destroyed. Is it going to be destroyed by what's happening possibly soon? I don't know. But I know this. The scripture declares that once whatever happens in Syria, it is so bad it will never again be inhabited. Now that's a huge statement. Something is going to happen. Are we watching it form right now? We don't know. But what if this is not it? What is God saying to us right now as Christians? Listen, hold your finger in Isaiah. Listen, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. People will always tell me, I say people, you know, two people say this and it sounds like it's 1,000. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that's two different events, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Pause right there for a second. I got to tell you, I'll give you both answers to what that might mean. The falling away comes first. The word is apostasia, unless the apostasia comes first. There are two camps. There's only two camps. You can only apply one of two interpretations based on the word apostasia. The word apostasia here used in the Greek means to depart from or to leave. So the end is not going to come unless there's a leaving. And some great ancient scholars believe that that's a reference to the rapture. Could be. Some scholars say, well, the context, maybe we think it means the other meaning to the word apostasy, and that is people will depart from the faith. They'll give up in the last days believing. Here's my view of that. I'll take them both. Both are true. The Lord is coming back for his people, and we are going to get out of here. God knows when, but people are departing from the faith, and I've watched it in my 36 years of being a Christian. It is in the last 5 years. I can tell you in the last 2 years, I've watched more people give up on Christianity than I have in the last 36 years of my Christianity. People are giving up. Hard times come, difficult times come, financial times, marital times, people giving up. It's biblical. Isn't that sad? But it's biblical. Middle of verse 3. Unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. This is the Antichrist. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Stop right there. If you know anything about what's happening in Israel, there is a regathering of a Levitical priesthood. They've got their robes already made. They've got their garments. They've got utensils. They've got the things all fabricated. You can go to the Temple Institute. They are under heavy guard. They've got the things and for the temple, red heifer. I remember back in the 80s when they produced the first red heifer that would sanctify the artifacts for the temple, and now they've got tons of red heifers that, according to the Levitical requirements, you can't sanctify the temple unless you have a red heifer, and you burn that red heifer and take the ashes and you mingle it with water and you sanctify all the utensils in the priesthood. And it's already been done. Listen, Israel has already gotten the purple or the blue dye that's required for the temple from a Mediterranean sea snail. You say, Jack, are you crazy? Listen, the Jews believe they're going to be rebuilding a temple anytime now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Instability in the Middle East. We'll have more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Instability in the Middle East is exactly what Pastor Jack contributed to our recent Awaken Prophecy Month series, which also included Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, and Charlie Campbell. Now, we're offering this entire conference, including what you just heard by Pastor Jack, all on one USB drive. In fact, you'll get both the MP3 files and the MP4 video files. You're going to like that. So again, the entire Awaken Prophecy Month series with Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs, all on one USB drive. I gotta tell you, I actually sat in for most of this conference. You're gonna love this USB drive with all this fabulous teaching. And that includes all the MP3s, as well as the MP4 video files for your computer or your mobile device. All we ask for is your contribution of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. If you'd like to learn more, visit us at realradioactive.org and then click on the button right there in the middle of the page that says Special Offer. In the meantime, have you heard about California's AB 1266 yet? If you heard last Friday's edition of Real Radio, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Go to privacyforallstudents.com. That's privacyforallstudents.com. Now, if you haven't heard yet, Governor Jerry Brown here in California already signed it into law. You're going to be shocked when you hear what's actually law here in California. Privacyforallstudents.com. If you are a registered California voter, you have the power at your fingertips to overturn this unspeakable legislation. Truly. The deadline, though, is tomorrow, November the 6th. But to sign the petition is real quick and real easy. If you're outside of California, there are still some key roles that you can play in this referendum. Find out at privacyforallstudents.com. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.